All right. Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to the Double L edition of the Kayak Fishing Radio Show. I am still and have been in Florida, but yeehaw, as soon as this show is over, I am packing my bags because I'm heading home tomorrow. And speaking of home, as always, my wife sitting at home monitoring things is Chris. Chris, how's it going back home? What's the weather like? Am I coming home with flip-flops on, or do I need to wear shoes?
Well, you better bring some earmuffs, honey.
Nah, really?
Oh, it's cold, but, you know, who knows what it's going to be like tomorrow. I've heard some say it's supposed to be up to 70 degrees.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I don't think I haven't worn a pair of long pants since I've been down here, except for maybe to go out in the evening. It has been pretty nice down here. I know it's mild winter everywhere, but that's fine. I don't care if it's snowing up to the rooftop. I'm ready to come home and get back in the house with the family. So, anything else going on up there? You got any fishing? Heard any good fishing reports or anything?
Actually, Dr. Julie Ball put up a fishing report. Striper still hit or miss. Tuner hit or miss. Somebody landed a 130-pounder. Of course, most people at this point no longer targeting the tuna. She's also had reports of tog and, of course, a speckled trout in the Elizabeth. However, it appears that the cove itself has been dead.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Not much going on there, huh?
And I quote, that's perfect.
All right, well, it wouldn't matter. Oh, go ahead.
That was Dr. Julie Ball's fishing report.
Very cool. Wouldn't matter if there's fish biting or not, because you and I are getting on the road almost as soon as I get home and heading to Greensboro, North Carolina. We're going to be at the Central North Carolina Fishing Expo. Chris and I will be at the Get Outdoors booth, who carries native watercraft. Surprise, surprise. And I got all weekend long of seminars to do there, so should be a pretty busy full weekend. If anybody's in that part of the country and has nothing to do this weekend, you should come to Greensboro. It's at the Greensboro Convention Center. It'll be my second time doing this show. Big show, a lot of good tackle deals, a lot of fresh and salt water. It's not just one-sided, so if you do either or, you can definitely come and get some good deals on tackle. Last year, just for reference, I scooped up some of the new Paul Brown quirky baits that Mirror Lure had started making. A guy had them there for $5 a piece, and they go for $8 if you look for them even on Mirror Lure's site. So they definitely have some good deals there. And a lot of other presenters, they got a lot of salt water, fresh water. They usually have several, and I haven't looked, to my fault, but they usually have quite a few professional bass guys there and local captains and stuff like that. So it's a big show, very good turnout. It's fun. Plus, they got the water skiing squirrel. So, you got to come at least see that if you don't come do anything else. A little squirrel gets on water skis behind a little remote control boat and goes around the pool. I don't know how they figured that one out. But anyway, that's got to be worth your admission right there to see a water skiing squirrel.
Of course.
Anyway, so after that, then the end of March, we're doing another show, aren't we?
Well, I was going to say,
last weekend.
Mark.
What's that?
You also should mention about the Greensboro show. It's one of the first shows where all the kayak fishing stuff is going to be in one area. Also, the kayak fishing will have their own seminar room. The seminars are all an hour and a half long.
That's right. See? That's right. Gosh, what would I do without you? Yeah, we've been plugging at the same people. They do shows all over the East Coast, and we've been asking them for years to kind of give the kayakers a little more separatism in a way, just because they usually intermingle all the seminars in between everything else that's going on, and you don't get much time, and it kind of really slims it down. So the show promoter this year is trying it out, and if it works good, which I hope and I think it will because we get a good turnout, they're going to try to incorporate that into all their shows that they do, to where they're going to give the kayak community its own little corner of the show, and we'll all be together, and we all get our own seminar room, so it keeps it flowing, and should be pretty interesting. I think it's going to work really good. The kayak corner, as Chris said, they're calling it. So, yeah, this will be our first try at it, but I think it's going to do really good. Captain Jerry Dilsaver will be there. If anybody's not familiar with Jerry, he was a long-time king mackerel fisherman tournament, like super hot, like one of the best in the country. And just like a lot of other people, he got into kayaking, and now he's on the Hobie Pro staff. There'll be some guys there, Mark Patterson from the North Carolina Kayak Fishing Association. Corey Ruth will be there, myself, and Get Outdoors. And I think there's some other kayak vendors also there. But, yeah, so it should be very cool. Looking forward to it. So let's see who's over in the chat room real quick before we keep going here. Looks like we're filling up pretty good over there. We got Mr. Rob DeVore, everybody coming back from the boondoggle trip. I heard they had a great time down there. And if you didn't catch last night's show, I'm sure Mark tomorrow night and Chip on Thursday night will fill you in from the boondoggle event. And Chip's in the room. Joe Campo. Who else we got? LGB. The Tom Mattal, I say it right? I don't want anybody crying.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, very good. Hammerhead, Mr. Chris, Kayak Kevin, what's up, K-Man? Old Bill, Redneck Kayaker, still haven't fixed that yet, huh? Rob Choi, Tommy V, and the TK Prez, my buddy there, William Raguski's in the room. Very cool. Well, thank you all for tuning in here tonight and keep the chat room going. We got a look at Tom said, well done. What was I going to say? As Chris is posting up, for any of you guests, you can log in. You can get in there and ask questions or cut it up with the rest of the group. You can use your Facebook, Twitter, or create your own account to log in. I think we're getting some of that worked out. We've had a few problems. I think one of the problems with it is, and Chris has mentioned this before, if you're trying to use your Facebook, you have to have your Facebook account open. Is that not correct, Chris?
I'm not sure, but that's how it works for me the easiest. I've tried it away, and it wouldn't do it, but if I keep
the
Facebook.
I don't know if you need to be logged in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you're having trouble, please contact us, somebody here, somebody at the radio show, or you can contact Chris or I personally. We'll try to walk you through it sometime so you can figure out how to get in if you're a guest and you haven't been able to log in. We'd love to have you participate. Easier to use with Facebook or Twitter, Chip said. Yeah, I agree. That's how I get in every other night of the week is with my Facebook account, and I don't have any problem at all. So if you don't have a Facebook account, like I said, you can create an account with the Blog Talk Radio and get in that way and then refresh the page. Yep. Chip's giving out tips in the chat room. Thank you, Chip. So I was saying for a second there, and then after that, we're also going to be in the Richmond at the Mid-Atlantic Saltwater Show. I just got an email from that show promoter, and they are filled up. They have exceeded and filled up, and now they're turning away people for that show. It's the first one. It's going to be all saltwater fishing. Kayak Kevin and myself will be there doing seminars at that show. It's going to be some other kayak, I think Frank Bandy from Tar River Paddle Sports is going to be there, but it's a big show. The I didn't write his name down, but the guy from 10 Fishing, somebody help me, who has that TV show. Anyway, I can't think of his name. He's going to be there, and a lot of local captains and stuff for the Mid-Atlantic region, basically Virginia area, is going to be there doing seminars again. And they tell me there's going to be a lot of good tackle and stuff going on. There's tackle companies coming from all over, so that looks like a pretty cool show. I'm looking forward to doing that. We got 3 days there also. And if you're in that area, the end of March, last weekend, stop by and say hi. We'll be in our booth and come check out some of the seminars. So I was talking a minute ago, if everybody's pretty much caught up to speed nowadays, they just had a boondoggle event and sounded like it was a great time, big turnout. It was in Chokoloski. I was looking at the pictures on Facebook. I'm really jealous. Looks like everybody had a good time. Chris and I wish we could have went down there. If they do it again down that way, we are definitely going to hit it up because it looked like a blast. Mr. Wheeler, you are on the phone. Are you still there, Mark?
I'm still here.
All right, cool. I heard you had a good little weekend down there catching some fish. I saw your pictures of your snook, your red. I heard you had a good time. So real quick, tell us about the trip real quick.
It was, stellar. Drove down there Thursday night into Friday and, got there and there was already a handful of people already set up and stragglers rolled in on Friday and it was just, got to give it up to the Havana Cabana for some awesome Cuban food. And Wayne and Linda at CIP, Chocoloski Island Park, two of the nicest people, you know, out there. You know, can't say enough about them. You know, and Saturday was awesome. I mean, just, you know, sliding around and, you know, hitting flat. The place will make you lose your mind. Because every time you glance over, you know, you go, man, there should be fish in that spot. There should be fish here. There should be fish there. I mean, it's just, you know, sensory overload. But, you know, I think, you know, come yesterday, I finally kind of figured it out, you know, for the little area that that I was fishing with Gene McElroy and Russ Pilon. Just, you know, finally got into them. But that is some place that you really, you know, need a week, two, three, hell, a lifetime to be able to really understand it and to capitalize on what's all there. And it is a kayaker's paradise. There are areas that we know the boaters could not get into, even on high tide.
Yeah, as what Rich said, there's a lot of areas there where boats aren't even allowed, period. So it's very cool. It's got to be paddle in, paddle out type of thing. So that's awesome, man. I'm glad. I heard you were an animal down there. Mr. DeVore said last night, he said that he gives his props to you. He said every time he turned around and looked, you always had a fishing pole in your hand. So I'm glad you got your bang out of it. That's pretty cool. He said you were a fishing fool. He said you were always, if you weren't on the dock, you were on the water. If you weren't on the water, you were in the water. Or I don't know if you slept with your rod or what, but they said you were fishing every time they saw you. So wouldn't have it any other way, right? You make a trip like that, you got to take it all in.
Oh, yeah. You know, that area, like I said, you know, there's so much, you know, stuff to do and, you know, fishing-wise that, you know, why stop, you know?
Yeah.
Hey,
awesome.
Mark.
Very cool. Who else we got on the line here? We have our resident Yak Angler Pro Staffer on the line, don't we, Chris? Yeah, Mr. Choi. Rob Choi, for any of you, yakangler.com. If you're not familiar with Yak Angler, you need to go check it out. Great site. All your kayak fishing questions and information. It's a very good site to get, you know, get your info out of. Yak Angler puts on a great site, and Yak Angler was also one of the contributing people to get the whole boondoggle together. And Rob, who's our local Yak, like I said earlier, Yak Angler Pro Staffer, he's on the phone. Rob, what's going on tonight?
Hey, glad to be here.
Hey. Well, I got you here tonight, Rob, because I got you, as like I said, to we got you to make a special announcement for us to everybody. So without any longer ado here, let's go ahead and tell everybody what's getting ready to happen in our neck of the woods, please.
Well, check it out, man. For everybody who's listening, hold on a second.
He wrote
note. No, actually, I totally blanked on a name. But, well, you know, this whole boondoggle thing, there's a lot of us who kind of feel left out, you know. We were kept hearing about it over and over again, and there's a lot of us who thought it was a great idea. It's pretty cool, but we couldn't, get, you know, find the funds or the time or work, kids, whatever. But for those of us in Virginia Beach, we won't feel left out because it's coming to the Virginia area in October. So I'm very excited. I hope everybody else is as well.
The boondoggle's coming to VA.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. Yes. I didn't mean to sound cynical. It's just earlier. I think there's, you know, I think there was, I know personally several people who, you know, we've had conversations where, you know, you all talk about it a lot, and it's for good reason. It's a great event, and it obviously takes a lot of planning. But I think for those of us who you know weren't into it, can be into it, those of us in the Virginia Beach area. So Columbus Day weekend is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I'll put those of us in the area will help the visitors get on some fish and have a good time.
Right on. So the Columbus Day weekend, which is the 8th. Chris, 8th, 9th, 8th?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, the Columbus Day weekend, which is the first weekend in October, will be the Boondoggle in the Virginia Beach area. So we'll be getting that together. It was just announced Sunday night. We've kind of been in the quiets about it, but now we're going to make a public announcement. For those of you listening that aren't familiar, the Boondoggle is just a big get-together for everybody to go fish. There's no, it's not a tournament. It's not a anything fundraising big time. It's just a reason for a bunch of people, Chip, but the October 5th to 8th, thanks. It's just a reason for everybody to get together from all around to meet and to go fish. And October is an awesome time of the year in the Tidewater area to fish. It is just, if you're not from our area and you're listening, that's the time when all of our migratory species are starting to fatten up to get out of town for the winter. I mean, you should be able to catch, what, flounder, trout, striper, specks.
Sheephead.
Yeah, I said trout. Uh-huh. What else? Sheephead, hog. I mean, there'll
be
more places. And bass. I mean, this is going to be, we got freshwater. And the beauty is the place we're going to try to set up at is First Landing State Park, and it's minutes from launches. You can literally launch your kayak from the beach at the park. What would you say, Mr. Wheeler? 10 minutes, you're on Lake Smith from First Landing. 15 minutes, you're on a lake if you want to do some freshwater fishing. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know,
it's
from there. I mean, 20 minutes to Rudy in the morning if you didn't, you know, if you cut through the ocean front. 5 minutes to Lynn Haven, 10 to Smith. You know, 10 to you know,
Hampton
Bay
Road
tunnel.
Bridge Tunnel. Yeah, the
yeah,
Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, so you'll be able to fish anything you want to fish for in that time of the year in our area will pretty much be on fire. I mean, if we have a nice summer and all, still be some cobia around. Yep, somebody's put up cobia. Yeah, it's just going to be it's going to be a very good time of the year to have this event, so we're looking forward to hosting it. I hope everybody that's listening can attend. As the time progresses, we'll be putting up all the information. Whiting, yeah, we got some roundheads. Stoker, yes. Silver drum, there'll be plenty of silver drum. Actually, that's the best time. October, that's when the big fat croaker and all
yeah,
are out there.
Yeah, the big croaker
so,
around, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, big croaker on the Lesnar.
What's
yeah,
the yellow fleece running?
Yep, big spot. So it'll be a great time. Will there be croaker?
It'll be
all the fish we got.
To bring your kids. Bring
right.
your kids. This is going to be an awesome time of year. Not too hot, not too cold. Lots of canned fish, salt, fresh water. Kids will love it.
And
cool.
for the raffle, folks, we've already got verbal agreements from Ken, Costa Del Mar, Keen, and you know, whoever else we can get, but I mean, this is already, you know, a day after the spring Boondoggle that we've already got commitments from companies that, you know, thankfully, you know, donated some portion to the raffle at Chokoloskee, and for them to already, you know, have a return to say, yes, we will help you when it gets closer. That is, you know, it is awesome. So this is going to be huge, folks.
That's right. We're going to definitely have a good time. Looking forward. And Chips, he's beating me to the gun on the chat room. As I mentioned in the beginning, Yak Angler was a big help for all these Boondoggles, and once again, they will be. So you can go to yakangler.com/boondoggle or Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle and get your information as we, you know, like I said, it just announced we're in the works, so it'll keep coming as we go, but we'll definitely keep everybody up to speed. We'll keep you up to speed as new things come in on our shows, both Chris and I and then Mr. Wheeler on Wednesday night. So if you got any questions or anything we can help you with in the interim or as it's going on, please don't hesitate to contact us, and we'll definitely help you get in the right direction. You don't have to camp either. There's plenty of lodging, other ways. There's hotels. I mean, we're in Virginia Beach, for God's sake. We got enough hotels and stuff at the ocean front. So we can definitely get you someplace to stay if you don't want to camp. There's even cabins. First Landing has some really nice cabins. So, and we'll get into that as time goes on. I don't want to hype it all up and than everybody asking me what I was talking about. So we're going to get the information going. I'm just proud and happy to announce that the Boondoggle's coming to Virginia Beach. It'll be very cool. So hopefully a lot of the people who attended Chokoloski will put it on their calendar and come north this time.
Of course.
Mr. Chris, up there, you got to come down.
I was going to say, now is a good time as any. Anybody wants to sponsor anything, by all means, get a hold of any one of us, and we'll set you up.
And, folks, if you want to fly in, there will be more than enough kayaks. You want to fly in
Gulf Coast International Airport.
So,
yeah,
so feel free if you're down in Florida or Louisiana, Texas, California, Spiker, and you want to come out here. You know, please feel free to fly in. We'll pick you up. We'll shuttle you back in and, you know, rig you up and get you on some fish. So with that,
very cool.
I got to go. The Losers.
Okay,
have a great
Mark.
Night.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Definitely. Bye.
All right. Bye. And with that, with the Boondoggle being that weekend, and just for anybody who's got some extra vacation time laying around and a free kitchen pass or whatever, the week before is our local TK tournament, charity tournament. We've always have a huge turnout for that event, and this was no way, shape, or form lined up that way. But so if you got some extra time, you want to come fish the TK event and stick around for the week during and or whichever, but it's another thing to check out. We usually have a huge turnout for that also. So that's the week before.
Great,
so
great,
we'll definitely, if nothing else, for everybody that's coming, we will definitely be able to tell you what's happening, because we'll be all in tournament mode in our neck of the woods. So we'll be definitely on the fish for a few weeks before that, getting a feel for everything. So it's pretty exciting. I'm pretty happy. So we're going to get off the Boondoggle now, and I'm going to get to the topic I was going to talk about tonight. Rob, you going to stick with me a little on this?
Yeah, man, I'll stick around.
Yeah, cool. All right. We put up on the show that had to be the 10% to catch 90% of the fish. And I was just thinking about it the other day, and I've been working on my show notes for my upcoming seminars, and I'm like, man, I got to start, you know, getting my stuff together for all that. And then I started thinking about it. A lot of times we go to shows and people just talk about how to catch a certain species or whatever, but it's not always species generated. It's to improve your fishing, period. Maybe old Kayak Kevin there will call in too, or anybody, please call in. If you got anything to add or add in the chat room, these are just some of the pointers and tips that I like to think about and things that I, you know, I'm on the water with clients. I kind of give them some little pointers and things that, you know, they can help to improve themselves when they're not, you know, once they're done with me for that day, things that they can take home and work on. So, you know, you can improve yourself. Fishing should always be an improvement to everybody. If you feel like you've known it all or you've done it all, then you probably haven't. So you probably need to either work harder or you need to sell your stuff and get some golf clubs, because fish are always changing and everything out there is changing all the time with technology and gear and everything. So always try to be learning something. That's why. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like every time you think you have a theory down, and the next time you go fishing, your theory gets shattered. I don't know. That happens to me all the time. Every time I think I have, you know, this pattern figured out, you know, next time I go fishing, something changes. So I think having as many tools as you can, you know, I think definitely helps.
Definitely. Yeah, and I'm going to talk, and anything I talk about is saltwater, and I'm going to talk about more of the inshore stuff because that's what I do. So if, you know, if it doesn't relate to freshwater, I'm sorry. I don't know much about that. But like I said, anything I'm going to hit on tonight is going to be inshore kind of light tackle type of stuff for specs, reds, inshore striper, things like that. And when you just said that about always changing, when I fished down here with the native team, I was with Steve Gibson, and Steve made it. He's funny. He said, how do you say it? He said, last time I looked, there's no fences in the ocean. So the fish are always moving. The fish are always changing. They're always doing something. It's not, don't get offended, anybody. It's not like a lake where at least they're kind of confined. So you got to figure out how to find them. You got to figure out things like, you know, where they're going to be today. And like you just said, it changes. As soon as you figured it out, and that's what I love about speckled trout fishing, because that's one fish, you know, that yesterday it was this color, today it's that. You can never figure it. Every day it's changing. So it makes it really exciting to get out there. And I think that's half the challenge and the fun is, yeah, just to figure it out. And that's what I like about artificial so much is that, you know, you're always trying to figure out how to change it up and fool that fish basically is what you're doing, and what you're throwing is what they thought it was, you know, as opposed to just dumb luck or waited on a piece of bait that soaked in the water for hours and they stumbled upon it. So the first thing I was going to talk about was tides. A lot of people ask me a lot of times about tides. Like, well, what tide do you like to fish on? I say yes. And they're like, well, no, what, you like low tide or high tide? I say yes. I don't dictate my fishing by the tide, A, because you never know, you know, Saturday it's low tide. Does that mean I'm not going to go fishing? No. You just got to change your tactics and where you go and where you look for the species, no matter what it is you target, unless you're out in the open water maybe or around the bridge or something. But even that changes on incoming, outgoing, low tide, high tide. But there's no reason to not fish tomorrow because it's low tide. It just means where are you going to fish. And for us kayak anglers, we need to put a lot more thought into things like that because it's not in the powerboat days. I remember, you know, if I was at the first island and I wasn't catching something in the boat, I could just put the screws to it and go to the fourth island in a matter of minutes. Well, we can't do that in the kayak. So you really got to make a plan. You got to know the tides. You got to figure what those tides are doing in relation to the area you wanted to fish or that you may fish. Do you? How much time do you spend looking at the tide charts, Rob?
A lot of the fishing I do, I mean, tides I watch to a certain degree, but there's something else on Kevin's site. You mentioned Kevin earlier on his links. I check out actually a lot of his where the current changes, because
that was my next
thing.
Because
the tide
exactly.
changes,
yep.
Yeah, just because the tide is doing something doesn't mean the current is doing the same thing. There
exactly.
could be times when, you know, the tide could be coming up, but the current could be going in reverse. And it's,
the opposite way.
Yeah, there's links on, I always just refer to Kevin's website because he's got them up there. So for those of you in the Virginia Beach area, he's got the ones for like Kip to Peak and First Island and stuff like that. So I rely on the currents a lot more, especially for, you know, fishing around bridges and stuff like that. I think on the flats, I think it's going to be more with the tides.
Right.
And it really depends for me what kind of fishing I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said earlier about, you know, if you're in the open areas, you might want to look at something different, and that's what I was getting ready to say. And people don't believe that if they haven't fished for long or whatever, but you're exactly right. You can have an incoming tide, and just below that you can have an outgoing current, or you can have slack tide and still have current, or whichever way you want to look
yeah.
at it, it'll change.
Exactly.
So you need to look at
yeah.
that chart and learn how to read the chart and see what the current's doing and as opposed to what the tide's doing. So,
yeah.
like
so
I said
like
earlier, that
nature.
Dictates a lot. You're right. In the shallows and the flats, it means a lot to you because if the tide's coming in,
yeah,
I always try
to
use the example. Go ahead.
Yeah, you just need to know water level, essentially, and what's going to be happening where as far as flats go. You should finish your train of thought, though. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I always equate it kind of to like the interstate at like, when it's high tide, it's kind of like 3 a.m. on the interstate. It's wide open. The fish have a lot of ability to move around. They can go all wherever they want because there's plenty of water. When it's low tide, it's kind of like 5 p.m. on the like on 264 in our neck of the woods. It's congested. There's not much room to move, so the fish are going to get deeper. They're going to get to where the areas are where there's going to constantly be water. So you got to look at it that way. So that's what I said earlier about, do I care about the tide? No, I just change where I fish. If it's going to be low tide, then I'm going to fish deeper. I'm not going to be back in the skinny little water. One thing in our region, as opposed to down here where I've been fishing, 2 foot of water doesn't mean nothing. These fish will move all around. In our area, 2 foot of water, usually you're going to start having to fish the little deeper channels, the little cuts and stuff that come with the tide. So,
and you can also, you know, it's going to depend on where you set up, you know. I mean, if you know a certain creek and stuff like that you know, dump out into a flat, you know, at high tide, you know, you can start setting up and know that, you know, once the water starts dumping out, the bait fish are going to start dumping out of there as well. And
right.
predators are just going to sit there waiting for you. So, I mean, stuff like that, I think, obviously play a role into planning on your day. But I was going to say earlier,
exactly.
too, like with HRBT, you learn that current, you learn that current chart and you try to set yourself up so you'll be there during the max current. In that chart, it'll tell you when slack is, when max current is. Oh, also planning your day. You know, there's certain places like First Island, you know, that chart will tell you how fast the water will be going at that max current too. Like certain, you know, just because it's max current, some days it's going to be different how fast it's going. You know, I guess it depends on the moon phase and whatever else. But, yeah, that can also help plan your day if you know if you want to be out towards First Island or someplace where current really plays a big role. If you're going to be out there and the current's going to be doing like 2 knots, that makes it really difficult to hang near pilings. So that can not only determine if you want to go or not, but if you do want to go, what kind of anchor setup you want to bring and that type of situation, you know.
Right. And that same current and all that also is dictated to the species you're fishing, too. Because if that current's moving too fast, certain fish, they're not going to get out in that current because they don't want to be used by the current either. Like your ambush, like a red and the specks and stuff, they're not going to be out there in a ripping current because they're trying to ambush. And so as soon as they come out of their ambush spot into that current that the bait's coming by, they want to be able to hit it and go back down to wherever it is that they're ambushing their food from. So if it's ripping current, and even though you think that there's going to be fish there, there might be, but they're not going to come out of that little nice quiet eddy that they have to get out into that strong current of water.
In contrast, you got stripers that enter the HRBT, and I was mentioning how you want to be there at max current, you know. That's when they're biting the best, you know. The faster, the crazier water, the better for stripers, from my experience anyway.
Yeah, so, you're right. And at that time, and they're a little bigger and faster, you know, they can move in with it. But you got to play that into the role too of the fish that you're trying to target. So, all right. So tide and current. So learn that stuff. Like Rob was saying, you can find out. I know it's on the NOAA site. You can get the current. You can get the tide. You can get that whole chart. They sell locally. I know I'm sure they still do. West Marine used to have a very nice book that they put out that had basically all that stuff in it too. They kind of, you know, it gets figured out by the, and like Rob said, the lunar tables play a lot into that and the season, the time of the year. So, but you can get a chart and pay attention to that. And another thing, and I don't do this and a lot of people do, and I'm probably slack for doing it, but keep a log. And if you kept a log in correspondence with that type of stuff, it would kind of help you a lot, too, so you'd be able to know, well, you know, the current was at this knot, like on this night, and I did great. It was on this, and I did poor. And then you start to see a repetition there. Well, it makes it a lot easier. Next time you look at that chart, instead of going out or going to that spot, every time this certain current was running at this certain spot, I didn't do well, then why are you going to go back? You know, don't be a creature of habit. If it's not working, you know, don't keep going back to it. So it's good to keep. Like I said, I'm slack. I don't keep any logs. I probably should. I know a lot of people do. It's very easy. I know Kevin, who's in there. I know he keeps it. He keeps a log on everything he does, and I'm sure it helps him a lot because you can call Kevin up and ask him in July of 2008 what was the red drum bite like, and he'll be able to tell you exactly to the day what he was doing. So. It's definitely beneficial, so that would probably be something. Do you keep a log, Rob?
I rely on my blog kind of to keep record, but I probably should write down more of the the temps and the wind direction and stuff like that. I think barometer probably, stuff like that, definitely I should.
Yeah, like I said, I'm guilty of not doing it either. Another thing that I'd like to tell people too is to have some confidence baits in your bag. Anyone could, you can go out there and dump your tackle box in the water any day, but you need to have some lures and things that you are confident in and get used to using them, get used to feeling how the effect of that lure works. Not just, you know, because Joe, no, I mean you, Joe, I'm just using Joe as an example, because Joe likes to use such and such bait, does that mean it's going to work for you? No, not necessarily. I mean, because you got to have confidence in what you're using. So I think having a couple of things in your arsenal that you have confidence in, that you feel good about, to always start with, or at least to have a fallback lure. You can go out there and try that new shiny thing that you bought on the shelf but does that mean it's going to work necessarily every time? But if you have a couple things, you know, there's always, when I go out, I always have a jig head tied on. I always have like a some type of mirror lure or a hard bait, whether it's a sinking top water, or I always have something like that. And a spoon, a lot of times, a gold spoon. I mean, there's a couple things that I always start the day with, at least to try to find, you know, to use to target. And then from there, I'll start changing things around. But get right out there and try something that you have confidence in. And especially if you hook up. If you start hooking up, then go play around with some other lures, like, you know, something you bought and never used. You know, then go try that. But don't go out there with that thing you've never used before. If you've never used a top dog or, you know, a top water bait, and you've watched everybody do it, and you're going out on a perfect day that, you know, the spec bite has been incredible on top water, but you haven't done it, at least get something in there that you know will find the specs, and then start working that top water lure. Because all you're going to do is you're just going to put that top water lure down and never go back to it again. It's kind of the same way I talk to people about fly fishing. I always have people saying, I want to learn how to fly fish. And I tell them, I said, well, take that spinning reel on your kayak and put it back in the truck. I'm like, well, what do you mean? I said, because as soon as you pick up the fly rod and you get one bag cast, you're going to put it down, you're going to go back to the spinning rod. So leave the spinning rod at home, take the fly rod, and it's going to make you want to fish better because you have that only rod with you. So if you're going to try to learn how to do something, take that with you and just concentrate on using that one particular lure or whatever it is. And don't be far-fetched either. If the bait or if what you're trying to fish for is feeding on 4-inch mullet, don't go out there with a 9-inch storm shad for striper fishing or something. I mean, you got to be within reason. Don't be trying to use some type of lure that wouldn't work no matter what was biting, unless it was crazy bluefish or something, I guess. But do you have a setup you start with, Rob? Do you have like say you're targeting speckled trout. Do you have, before you leave the dock, is there a couple things that you always have tied on the same, just to start with, to find the specs?
Quarter ounce jig head. I like the, it's like a shaky head type of, I think it's a freshwater, it's from freshwater, but I just like the way, like you said, it's a confidence bait. I think, the thing about confidence bait is that you can't get that confidence unless you just have to spend time on the water, essentially, and, you know, you got to test out things. For speckled trout, I think just a quarter ounce jig head. I like a dark green or like a gray, black, something like that. And, you know, MarshWorks has been working real well for me from before that. Some, obviously, Gulp. I think some Bass Assassins with paddle tails are like a dark green, kind of like there's some ones that have some red speckles in there. It's like a chartreuse tail, paddle tail. Gulp, pretty much anything. It's kind of depending on the colors, depending on the day. And then depending on what area I'm working, it's either going to be a top water lure or suspending mirror lure. Now, colors varying depending on what kind of sky we got and water clarity and water conditions. For stripers and stuff.
Same
like
thing.
That,
you got the things you start with, and then you can retool it from there when you get out on the water, but. It's good to have those confidence things, and just like you said, you got to get confident in it and be within reason, but definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Having
sure
some sort
you,
of confidence
you have
it, it prevents you from, yeah, it prevents you from switching nonstop, and basically you're not getting any sort of rhythm, any sort of feeling for what you're supposed to be doing. So I think at least sticking to something that you feel good about, that you know you've caught fish on before, in relative similar conditions for the day, I think sticking to it is definitely a good idea until you absolutely have to change and switch to something else.
Yeah, and the more you're changing, the more you're doing what? You're doubting yourself, you're doubting what you're doing or whatever.
Exactly.
So if you keep changing lures every time you change something, a lot of times you're probably
you're
doubting yourself.
Fresh all over
or
again, but you're
you
doing.
Might just be, this flat out might be the thing is, there's just no darn fish there. And, you know, don't always, you know, I mean, the stupid little critters have fins. They move all the time. So it might not be the lure necessarily. There just might not be fish there. So that's that's something else that I wanted to touch upon is that people go to an area and they fish, but it's like, well, why'd you go there and fish today? Because, you know, Larry fished there last week. Okay, well, why was there bait there? Was there, is there a reason why you went there? And then, no, he just told me he caught nice trout there. I'll just use trout again as an example. Well, that was yesterday or that was last week. So you have to start, you know, be aware of what's going on when you go to that area. I love to just, usually I always stop when I go to an area and wait a little while. Again, when I'm talking about inshore flats and stuff back, like say in Lynn Haven or whatever. And don't, you know, as soon as you get there, don't start bombing lures out into the water. Wait a few minutes. Sit down there. Just look around. Look for bait. Look for activity. If there's no food, if there's no bait, there's probably no fish, because no bait, no prey, no predator. I mean, that's what they're there to do. They eat, and they move around. I mean, fish don't have to go to work. Fish don't have to, you know, go pay their taxes or anything. They have to eat and make more fish. That's the only two things, and survive, I guess, and stay away and not become prey. So, I mean, if there's no bait in the area, if there's no food or reason for them to be feeding, they're not going to probably be there. So if you're throwing that lure like we just talked about, but you're throwing your best lure and just throwing it into empty water, you're probably not going to hook up. So be aware of that. Make sure you look for that, the signs that something, some life in the water, whether it be watching the birds, watching, you know, other prey going around, might not be your targeted species. I mean, but make sure you're in a fishy area before you start bombing lures out there. And don't just start bombing them out anyway. Try to pick up a pattern of what's going on in the area. If you can see pushes or you can see nervous water.
Shoreline.
Yeah, a little nervous water. You're right. You see things that are activities, you know, and that's the other thing is people do that too. And then you'll see that nervous water, and what's the first instinct of everybody to do? Throw right at it, you know. Throw right in the mess. Well, you probably hit something on top of the head and spooked it. So pay attention for a few minutes, see which way that bait's moving, and make your cast and your retrieve to mimic that bait that you're trying to, especially, again, when I'm talking about artificials, but that's what you're trying to do with that artificial, is you're trying to mimic that stuff that they're eating. So make sure you're casting in there and retrieving it with the same flow that the bait's trying to get out of town. Throwing a lure right at a fish doesn't make a lot of sense, especially if you get talking a 24-inch redfish and you're throwing a 3-inch lure. There's no 3-inch mullet out there that's going to swim towards a redfish. I don't think they're that stupid. They're going to swim away from a redfish. So when people, you know, you see them and they throw it right in their lap, I mean, even a red's not that stupid. He's going to say, that didn't seem right a lot of times. So throw it short and wait till they get to you. But don't throw right into the pod. I hate that with striper fishing, how many times there's a blitz going off and you'll see somebody get out there and just start. Seeing it more in boats than I ever do in kayaks, but man, I don't know how many times when I still own my boat, you'd be out there on the water and there'd be a big old blitz going off, birds diving, striper, and there's always that one guy that powers up there and 10 of his buddies are on about a boat and they just start bombing lures into the middle of that beehive that's going on.
They would run their freaking boat right through the whole school.
Right into it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
get on the outer edge. Yeah, get on the outer edge of that.
Something you mentioned earlier. Yeah, something you mentioned earlier is just simply pay attention, man. I mean, just look around. Try to absorb everything that's happening. You know, water. You know, what's the water doing? Like you said, is it nervous? Is there, you know, there are different things happening near the shoreline. It's a lot of times, you know, I'm so absorbed in the day, like I'm not. You know, after the end of the day, I'll stop and I realize I haven't even eaten. I've barely sipped a drink. You know, sometimes, maybe it's not always that good to get that absorbed, but I think that helps, you know, really put yourself in there. And some people want to get out on the water and, you know, just relax and enjoy their day and just with the nature and environment. But, you know, there's those of us who really focus on the fishing part, you just, you know, immerse yourself in all the little details and, you know, come up with theories nonstop in your head just to figure out like what kind of pattern might be happening. So I think for me, that definitely helps. And also, so stuff like it's kind of stupid watching nature shows and stuff like that. You realize that there's some baits out there or you know, bait fish that, you know, as soon as, you know, something weird's happening, they kind of bury themselves in the sand. So sometimes when you have like a heavy jig head, and you know you kind of bump the sand more so than swim the bait. Do you know what I mean? And I think that also
triggers
reaction.
Take a little pooch in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. Like what Kevin does out in the Eastern Shore, you know, he uses big 2 ounce or ounce and a half big Spro bucktails that they cause a lot of commotion in the sand, and he's not really swimming it as much. And you know, stuff like that, I don't know where he got that from, but, you know, I've watched different, you know, nature shows, and, you know, even just observing, you know, all this, you know, when a crab, you know, digs himself into the sand and stuff. I think small details like that definitely helps.
Yeah, definitely. Pay attention. Have your head on a swivel, as we used to say in the Marine Corps. Always have your head on a swivel. See what's going on around you.
In a kayak, right, especially, you know, not only for fishing, but for safety as well, you know.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you're back in some of those areas, out around the bridge and places like that. Definitely want
gotta
to.
Got to pay attention.
Got to be paying attention. All right, now I'm going to have a little rambling section here with something I kind of was reading the other day. Well, not the other day, a while ago, and I started trying this right before I left to come down here to Florida, and I started using it down here, and it really did seem to make a difference. Shallow water presentations is what I'm speaking of. But just real quick, is about casting distance. The further you can cast, the more water you're going to cover. That's an obvious. But the more water you're going to cover is also the further you're going to cast is going to get you away from the fish see you, I guess, is basically what I'm trying to get at. So you want to make the longest cast you can. You don't want to be right up on top of the fish if you can help it, especially like reds and specks in the shallow. That's why I laugh a lot of times when people, like, the first thing they want to do is stand up in their kayak. Well, you know what? As soon as you stand up, that fish has already seen you, and he's out of there before you get a chance, because all of a sudden it was flat, and now there's something, a shadow or something that's brought up. So casting distance, increasing your casting distance towards your targeted area. I was going to read real quick some notes I wrote down because I never would remember any of this in my head. But on an average, I guess it's 70 presentations an hour is what we got here. So that would be about 500 casts per trip. If you were to add about 20 feet to your distance, that would be a little bit less than 2 miles more of fishing that you would do in that day. 20 feet is not a lot, but 2 miles of fishing. So if you're fishing next to somebody else and he's not getting at you, have just covered 2 more miles of water than the person fishing next to you. So how much more chances do you have in the water to catch fish if you're covering 2 more miles of water? A lot. So you got to start thinking about how would you increase your casting distance. And something a lot of people, and I know from years working in a tackle shop, people just come in and they buy a rod just because they want a rod. But it's like, is that rod going to load properly? What type of lures are you going to be casting with that lure? So if you're going to be using, for example, like jig heads, like Rob mentioned, he has a jig head tied on for his speckled trout. You want a fast tip, light action rod, something that the rod will load. A lot of people, you know, they don't understand that the rod has to load, and there's a whole, what would that be, science to it, I guess. I mean, but just like a fly rod, the longer the fly rod, that's why you see people like, why do they got that long fly, you know, why are fly rods so long? Because there's no weight to the fly. So you have to have that bend in the rod and that propels the fly forward. Well, the same thing with the, even with the jig head, you have the jig head that's going to help the line take off the reel, but the longer rod, something that'll load, and when you come to the stop of your cast, that tip's going to snap, and it's going to propel that lure even further. So like a 7'6" for your spinning rods, maybe 7' for your casting, and that's what I did down here is I brought a 7'6" spinning rod, and I did some of the things that I've been reading about, and I try to different type of braid now I've put on there. I've been trying to get, you know, some more distance, and I think it works a lot. I mean, it really helps a lot to get further. And like I said, if I can cover 2 more miles of water than the guy fishing next to me, if I'm in a tournament or just out there on the water, that means that's a lot more time I have in the water to catch fish. So I think some people maybe aren't doing that. You know, if you're trying to cast, you know, right in front of the boat, you're not covering that much water. So trying to cover more water in the time period, obviously, the more you're in the water, the better chance you have of catching some fish.
I think, with sight casting, I think it's actually pretty crucial. mean, you really don't want to get any closer to that fish than you have to. And
right.
I know, being able to, and not just distance, but also accuracy, because, I mean, you can throw really far, but if you still can't get it, you know, towards where you need it to be, you're still screwed. So, I mean, it sounds silly, but my wife kind of jokes at me even when I do it. But sometimes, you know, get a couple hooks or a bucket or some kind of landmark. You can go to a field and, you know, cast and try to get it as close as you can, you know. Find yourself and kind of, you know, put yourself in almost sitting position, too, if you can, because you're going to be either sitting or an awkward standing position where you can't, you're not really, when you're standing in a kayak, you're not exactly fluid, you know, you kind of, you're a little awkward, but, yeah, I think it's a good idea to practice that also.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely cash and distance. And the reel you're using, too, the larger Arbor reels that hold more line, also will take off more line in your cast. So like a regular, like an average, what would that be? The smaller Arbor reels would be like about a 6-inch ratio every time that spool makes a revolution. Your larger Arbor, like on, I use the Daiwa Coastal 3000, has an 8. I'm getting on that larger about 8 inches for every revolution. So that's 25% more line that's coming off of that reel, and it has less friction, too. So that's, again, that's increasing my distance. So just like we were saying, it's definitely getting you out there further. It's getting you away from the fish so you can make that cast and not spook them, not line them so much. So definitely look at – this is some pointer, you know, to look at if you – doing that type of fishing, shallow, skinny water, trying to get out there. Now, at the HRBT, I don't think you have to worry too much about the distance, per se, on that.
Yeah,
you can
be, top. Yeah, you can be literally
top.
Right on top of them sometimes.
Yeah, you can be right on
so
top.
As far as casting goes, I wanted to mention real quick, you know, your line thickness, that plays a role in casting. You know, you got this, you know, 30, 40, 50-pound braid, you know, it's not going to fly as quickly as, you know, your 10, your 15s. I mean, granted, you're not going to have as much power when you're playing fish, but sometimes that's not what you need. So
right.
It's a give and take.
That's
there.
That's the beauty of the kayak. That's a lot of the beauty of the kayak. It's fighting the fish with the boat and not the rod and the reel anyway. So you don't need to set yourself up there with some big winch tackle and everything to get out there and bring the fish in. If you learn how to fight the fish right with the with your kayak, you can beat them pretty quickly. I mean, I think a lot of times
this is going to depend on what kind of fishing you're doing. I mean, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. I mean, if I'm fishing next to the pilings, I kind of still want that slightly thicker line, so I'm not rubbing up and instantly popping right off.
But you're not trying to get casting distance either. You're dropping straight down.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a straight drop. So that's a very different type of fishing. So.
Right.
Yep.
Totally. Definitely. Well, very cool. All right. Well, those are just some pointers. Just some key things I just thought maybe I'd like to share with everybody. Anytime we can improve, like I started, there's always a chance. Like I said, don't ever think that you've learned it all, because there's definitely something out there you can learn. You can always figure out something or try something new, you know. Try to do something a little different out there. I totally believe in that, too. You know, fish aren't stupid totally. I mean, you watch any of the, like, redfish tournament people, when they go out and pre-fish a lot of times, they fish without a rod and a reel. They go out for days before the tournament, and they don't throw anything at anybody, any of the fish. They just go out and scout, and they look around. Or they throw lures with no hooks on them just to get a hit to see what's out there, but then they stop, you know. So fish see the same thing over and over again. I think after a while they kind of get used to it, and so you might have to switch it up, what you're using or what you're doing, your retrieve or whatever it may be. But get out there and experiment. Don't get complacent. Always try to learn something new. It makes it a lot more fun, at least for me anyway. I enjoy as a reward to say, hey, I fooled that fish into thinking that, you know, that was what he wanted. Plus, I got so much money tied up in tackle all around, I guess I need to use it. doesn't help to leave it sitting in the garage.
Nope.
But, well, Rob, thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to start winding it down. We're at the top of our hour. Thank you for announcing our exciting news that the Boondoggle is coming to Virginia Beach. We look forward
to
working with you.
Definitely excited for sure.
Yeah, Rob's already said that we get people that are seasoned enough, they'll be ready to help us get some people out to the bridges to do some
of that hogging
and stuff. We'll put some
of
that together too.
Yep.
I'm sure Kevin's listening there. He was on the phone, and now he's back doing some editing, he told me. So Kevin will definitely be with us on that too, so we'll be able to get all of us out there and put some little trips together to different things when you all come our way. But with that, we're going to go ahead and wind it down. Remember to go check out yakangler.com for all your kayak fishing. There's great forums on there, a lot of good reviews, great place to ask a question, and it's not like a regional type of thing either like some forums are. It's nationwide, people from all over on there. So go in there and definitely check them out at yakangler. Chris, what you got?
Yep.
Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, for those of you that are interested in the Boondoggle thing, Yak Angler and the Kayak Fishing Radio is probably going to be the headquarters of getting all your information for that. I think you can look forward to having updates regularly.
Yeah, we're going to get it going because it's 9 months, but 9 months will go by fast with everything else going on. We all got to work and all that stuff too, so we got to keep it going. Before you know it, October will be here, so. We will definitely be plugging along on getting all that information out to everybody. Chris, you still with us? I see you've been keeping an eye on the chat room, folks.
Mm-hmm. you know what it's like when the two Toms are not there.
Yeah, I knew. That's why I try not to look over there too often because those two have put on their own show over there. We should start calling it the double L with the double T. The double T chat room show with the jokesters over there in the chat room. Well, hopefully they were listening. Well, hopefully the two of them are listening, and maybe we'll get off the croaker fix and we can get them to do something else now.
Yeah, Joe's been angels with them too. Joe's tagging along right with the two Toms. We see that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to get off the phone because I got some off the phone, off the show. I got some packing to do and I got a half a day of work tomorrow, heading to the Big Jacks Airport to come on home. So real quick, I'd like to thank all of my sponsors. One of my main is going to be Native Watercraft, where I'll be in the Native Watercraft booth with Get Outdoors this weekend. Once again, if anybody's in the Greensboro area, come on by to Expo, stop in, say hi to Chris and I. Love to meet you, love to talk to you. Got any questions, anything? By all means, come on by and ask them. If you ever have any other questions or anything we can help you with, if you're not a friend or don't know, go on Facebook and look up First Landing Kayak Fishing. Be our friend on there. I promise once I get back home and get on the water more, I'll be able to update it more and get you guys up to speed on what's going on in our neck of the woods, which will be another way for us to keep up on the boondoggle as it's coming. So, like I said, thanks to Native. Thank you to Kayak Fishing Radio. This has been a blast so far. We're on our second month now to show, right, Chris? We started in January. Yep, we're almost on 2 months down. This has been a lot of fun, and it wouldn't be so much fun. I'd like to thank definitely all of our listeners. You guys are what keep us going here. It's a good time. All of our guests we've had, people like Rob and Chad, it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. I was kind of hesitant at first if we wanted to do it or not, but I'm enjoying it, and you people are the ones that are helping me enjoy it. So made a lot of good friends here. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. Chris, you ready? You got anything kind to say to your friends in the chat room?
I sure do. Tight lines to everybody, no matter where you're fishing. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow night, Mark Wheeler, Thursday, Chip, and Friday night, the Wild West. I don't know if they're switching. I think that's next week, or maybe it is this week. I have to look on the show. Chip, you still there? Are they switching next time, this Friday? The Wild West is going to go to 8 o'clock their time. So if you tune in to Friday night, make sure you keep an eye on that. I'm not sure, and Chip's not answering me. I guess I should know better. All right, everybody. Thank you. Good night. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.
Tight line.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rob.
Please hang up and try again.